This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Final score, Florida Gators, they're your national champion, 65-63. Stop me if you've heard this. Yet another comeback by Florida. They were down 12 with 15 minutes or so left to go. They're playing against the number one defense in the country in Houston, Perloff, but it was Florida who flipped the script, and their defense down the stretch sealed this thing. And if you're Houston, you've got to be sick because you've got this lockdown defensive team, older team, seasoned team, although Florida's got some older guys too, and you had the lead. And all of a sudden, it just evaporated and it was your own fault.
Yeah, I mean, we should have known. We should have seen it coming because this was every Florida game in the tournament. Lower scoring, but I mean, you have to get, I don't know how many points you have to get up on this team to beat them. Same story again and again and again. And there were moments last night where you felt like even when Houston had that lead, it's like, oh, okay, Florida's hanging around, playing terribly and hanging around is the name of the game.
It's so true. Like their first half was just awful and they were down by 3 points.
I know. Well, Houston did not get a lot of good looks to credit Florida's defense, even in the from the beginning of the game. But I think both teams came out tight.
Yep.
The great Calvin Sampson in-game interview where he said, it's not like we're playing Sasquatch State. He's like, they're just nervous.
Yeah.
And you could see that, but also credit the defense. I think they said, I think Houston's defensive plan was, we're going to let the Florida big man, Alex Condon, get the ball on every play right near the basket, and he's going to panic. And they were
right.
They're right for the first 75% of the game. And then eventually he started getting some easy buckets. It was a defensive battle. But again, Florida, man, you cannot count them out, obviously.
It was wild. So they win their third national championship this century. And again, how they did it was getting into basically the game that Houston most likely wanted to play. Now, Houston wouldn't want to miss the amount of three-point shots that they missed. They've been one of the good three-point shooting teams all season long. And yesterday, they go 6 for 25. Like, that's not going to get it done. Not that Florida was that much better. Florida was 6 for 24. It was just awful shooting night all around. But that, again, is the type of game that Houston wants to play way more than Florida.
Yeah.
This low-scoring game. And it was Houston that lost their poise down the stretch. And, you know, one of the, like, biggest takeaways, or if you think back, like, what's the defining play of this championship game, it's the very last play, which is Emmanuel Sharp, who went 1 for 7 from three. If you can count that as a hot hand. Not really. And he doesn't even get the shot off. He goes up with the ball, but loses his pivot feet. If he comes back down and touches the ball again, that's a travel. So he rightly stayed away from the basketball, and it just sort of out there in no man's land until a Florida player comes and grabs it. Game's over.
Yeah, that was an ugly way to end. question, historically, do we put this play in the famous last second collapses, Chris Webber calling a timeout, obviously, or Fred Brown passing to the wrong team back in 84, was it, with Georgetown, North Carolina? Or no, it must have been 83 with Worthy. So I don't, because those were mental mistakes.
This wasn't mental mistake. He knew the rule. Like, he was, he had the right idea. The problem is you either had to shoot it, get the shot blocked, and hope you get the tip, or you just grab the ball anyway and put it in the referee's hands, I guess.
I think there's a little bit about the fact that the last three possessions were turnovers.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that one play. I don't think
this would have been the winner.
Yeah, but they obviously, there was something else going on. Like, they could not get a look at the basket in the last 2 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. Not that Florida had so many shots go in themselves, but I'm not definitely not putting it on Sharp. I put it on the whole team. The offense just got bogged down at the end.
It was a slog. It really, really was. Yeah. It was not like an aesthetically pleasing basketball game by any stretch. It was like, does anyone actually want to win this thing? Although I did think Houston was going to come out victorious because they had that 12-point lead with about under 15 left to go. And Florida was getting technical fouls. Like, the Florida started the second half with 6 fouls in 2 minutes and 39 seconds. Like, they were falling apart. The bench gets a technical foul? How often does that happen in a championship game? Like, they were melting down, felt like they were losing their composure, and then they just, like, saved it. It was like they caught themselves as they were starting to completely spiral and just hand this thing to Houston. To be fair, that's kind of been Florida's thing. That's what all these comebacks are about. It looks so dead and buried, and they're dead in the water, and then they just rise up.
Yeah, and if it was a more high-scoring game, I think that Houston could have started fouling Alex Condon. I know he hit a couple free throws, but his free throws were shaky. My favorite moment of the game is when the backup center came in and shot 2 free throws. That was the greatest thing I've ever
seen.
Micah Handlaken. I don't know where this dude's from. I'm guessing not America. Oh, no, he is. Anyway, he hit the backboard on 2 free throws. I'm like, if that guy gets in the game and it's close, you're going to foul him every time.
they had to get him out. I thought they could have
fouled Alex Condon, but I don't think they could because the game was so low scoring. And then Houston missed a couple free throws. If they shot just a little better from every little margin, they needed to hit every margin perfectly, and they did not.
And the 2 free throws that no one's really talking about is Elijah Martin, because he had that incredible dunk in the Final Four, in the national semifinal, rather, and it made it into one shining moment on multiple angles. But with 46 seconds left to go, he's standing at the free throw line, nails those 2 free throws to tie the game and then take the lead by a point. It was, nails. Nobody's talking about it because he's like a grad transfer and played at FAU and he's very seasoned, but those are big free throws in that.
Yeah. Spot. I mean, the last image for him will be the dunks.
Oh man.
He tried one. And by the way, this, do you want to know about last night's game? He got blocked by the rim, got the ball back in the first half, and then got blocked again. Houston's shot blockers. Oh my God. When the two big guys got in foul trouble, then that's when Walter Clayton Jr. got a couple layups. The Houston rim defenders were unbelievable. I think that foul trouble was a big deal. The officials were not great last night, but I thought that they had a little trouble because Houston and Florida were getting quite physical. Ended up killing Houston. I think the foul trouble was a massive issue.
Well, let's go and turn our attention to a man who was calling some earlier action on Westwood One, did a fantastic job, was in the Providence region, played basketball at Notre Dame, 4-year player there for Mike Bray, now Westwood One and NBC Sports. It's Jordan Cornette, who's good enough to join us this morning. Jordan, what'd you make of it last night? Did you see this as a Florida, another gritty comeback, or do you feel like Houston wakes up today and said, we blew it?
Well, I think guys, thanks for having me on. Maggie, I think it's a little bit of both. For a Houston team, they're definitely going to be kicking themselves waking up today if they even slept at all last night, thinking in a game that close, the closers we've been all year, to not even get a shot off in the final 2 possessions when trailing is just something that's unacceptable if you want to become a national champion. On that stage is just something that's going to stay with those guys forever despite all they achieve. Meanwhile, for the Gators, how do you not give credit to a team that is the best scoring team in the country that goes in there, again, on that stage, plays a game in the 60s, doesn't even doesn't even break 70. And a Houston team that wins that way, that is 33-0 in games, that they hold the opposition to under 70, that this Florida team is malleable enough, so connected, to find a way to win a game that doesn't traditionally play their way and absolutely plays to the strength of Houston. That is what champions are made of. And mind you, this is a Gators team that has been down massively in three games in the second half in this tournament and have found a way to win. That resiliency is worthy of being a champion.
Jordan, not that this will help Cougars fans, but looking back on it, from an X's and O's standpoint, what should Kelvin Sampson have been doing differently in the last minute or so? Because it felt like Houston was having trouble getting any kind of look.
Well, I think that they were a little scattered, Andrew, when I go back and watch it. You know, that final play, I watched so many times. That the thing a lot of people keep saying is, well, why not go down low to Juwan Roberts? Well, he was 3 of 13 in that game. The length of Florida had been bothersome. He couldn't find his angles. He couldn't have the type of game where typically you just go down to your pivot man who's delivered all year. The thing I didn't like about the last few plays is how scattered they were. They're such a physical team. It's something that not a lot of people notice, but they're a great screening team. And they didn't get any physical screens. They didn't get those guys supplanted, get body on body to open up for their shooters to get a three-point look. I don't mind that they were chasing a three, but it's just how scattered they looked for a group that operates so well down the stretch and is so well coached. I mean, look at the inbound play that comes back to Uzan to win the game to advance. Like, this is a group that has executed so well down the stretch, and it was just such a lack of execution. They were so scattered. It was really startling to watch.
Jordan Cornette is joining us. NBC Sports Westwood One did a fantastic job on this tournament. Yeah, four straight turnovers on the last four possessions for Houston. Crazy. They were not poised in this moment. And Jordan, we've been talking about a little this morning, just literally that final play. We all think that it would have been a travel call, but if you're looking at Emmanuel Sharpe, should he have grabbed the basketball anyway, maybe forced the officials to call it? I mean, obviously, you're just in the moment. But what did you see about that play as a former player? You know, how did you view it?
You know, it definitely would have been a turnover. I think they would have actually called, I don't know if it would have been travel or double dribble. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I think it actually would have been a travel. It's a call. It was definitely a violation. You can't leave your feet and then try to establish a dribble to give yourself back an opening to possess the basketball. So he absolutely could not touch the ball. What he should have done, and it's really obvious. I mean, Clayton, give him credit for the closeout, but it wasn't going to be enough to block the shot, maybe alter it, but that's what Sharpe does. He hits highly contested shots from deep. You got to pull the trigger. I think if anybody's going to have the most sleepless of nights, it's going to be Emmanuel Sharpe. I mean, he lives for that moment. Top of the key in a scattered play. Didn't get the screen he wanted, but flashed up the middle of the lane to extend out for that three-point look. You got to pull the trigger. You got to take the shot. And that's what stands out to me is, yes, the effort from the All-American Walter Clayton, which you got to love if you're a Gator fan, but Sharpe still would have had enough time and enough of a window to deliver maybe one of the all-time moments in the NCAA tournament.
What does last night's game do for Walter Clayton Jr.'s legacy? Only had 11 points, had that big play. It looked like he was trending towards one of the all-time scoring tournaments, but still won the title. How does this leave Walter Clayton in everyone's memory?
I mean, he goes down as one of the all-time Gators, without question. This is a guy that has truly cashed in the old school way in college basketball. And look, obviously he had NIL money, so that part's not old school. But this is a guy that went to Iona as a zero-star recruit, played for Rick Pitino there, elevated his game, got a lot better, elected to go back home. I believe he's from the state of Florida. Go back home to Florida, play for the Gators, a zero-star recruit that goes on to become an All-American and the MVP of the NCAA tournament, like the MOP of the Final Four. Like, it's crazy the trajectory that a guy who was a zero-star recruit was on no draft boards, and now it's gotten as crazy as, maybe not crazy because I think he's going to be a great pro, but people think he could be the number two pick in the draft. From not on draft boards to playing your way to that because of the run he was on, the system that worked for him playing for Todd Golden, and inserted into that group and having continuity to position him with that Gators team, It's incredible. I mean, this guy's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. I mean, he is – I can't believe this stat. He's the first ever first-team All-American in Gators history. I mean, I can't fathom that with all the tradition there and all the pros that they've had. But it goes back to this Gators team and what people aren't talking about enough is this group had continuity coming into the year. in all this chaos and going to find the headline guy and push you over the top, this group had six of their nine returning scorers from a year ago come back. This group was positioned to win, then you go get Elijah Martin, and it pushed him over the top. So this group was connected coming into the season and played like it in the most turbulent time.
Jordan Cornett is joining us. NBC Sports, Westwood One, played 4 years at Notre Dame under Mike Bray. So, Jordan, you know, Todd Golden now is going to be like on this rocket ship, right? He's 39 years old, and he's the head coach of the Florida Gators. We've been talking this morning whether he's actually destined for the NBA, but, you know.
Oh, we're doing that already,
well,
Maggie. Already,
sorry, Jordan.
To do that
we're
in New
poaching
York?
Him for the Charlotte Hornets. No, I'm just kidding. I think the question is, like, what does he do that's so different? You know, they talk about him being this analytics genius. Like, as you're watching the game with your eye, where you played high-level elite basketball, what do you see that Golden does that separates him from other coaches?
You know, when I watch him, I just watch a guy that stays with what he believes and how he likes to defend and how they like to attack the game. I mean, this is a group that elected to guard Jani Broome one-on-one in isolation in that Final Four game. And people are thinking, why are you guarding arguably the best player in college basketball one-on-one? You got to throw doubles at him. Well, what they did in that Final Four game, again, the biggest game he's ever coached, a 39-year-old in his first Final Four, going against Bruce Pearl, the guy who was his mentor. He served on his staff as a grad assistant. And he elects to do something that had everybody watching that game question it, saying, how are you guarding Jani Broome in isolation one-on-one? He's going to feast. They allowed Jani Broome to get a little bit of his. They trusted their length and their interior defense. But what that allowed them to do was keep shooters away from lighting them up in that game. It was ultimately the difference. It was how they won that game versus Auburn was a coaching decision from Todd Golden. This guy is steadfast in his approach. He is very disciplined in how he attacks a game plan. He's very connected to his group for them to go out there and execute it. But his conviction at his age is something that is truly impressive. I mean, this guy went out there with a game plan. They executed, and that was the difference in the national semifinal. Then to get to the final for his group to be down yet again, down 12 in the second half, and him never showing any signs of pressure or getting rattled, that speaks to a guy who's well ahead of the curve at his age. And is destined to do a lot more. We're just scratching the surface. Look, this guy loves Florida. I think he's going to be there for a while, especially with how they're positioned there, the retention. They're able to keep guys because of their NIL package down there. They've got a group that is all in. He's in a great spot.
So do you think they have a chance to repeat like the last Florida title team?
I mean, look, if they can keep that, there's a core of guys on that group. They come back, guys like Aberdeen, guys like Hauk, guys like Hanglock. And look, they have pieces. Chenyelu, they got to score again with one or two scoring wings. They've got to go get two more guys off the wing to build on this core. But absolutely. I mean, this is a place that is all in on basketball as much as they are in football. Look, football is a little bit more. I'm not dumb here, but they're committed to basketball. And with a guy like that, a young charismatic coach, 39, you have everything in place, there's absolutely a shot that they can do it again.
I heard an interesting complaint from someone in Florida that they're 3 weeks behind on the transfer portal because of the tournament. Is that something that has to be fixed in college basketball?
I mean, if you talk to any coach, Perloff, during the tournament, it's crazy. I mean, that's all they talk about is how this has to change. Talk to Tom Izzo for 2 seconds. That'll become an hour-long conversation about how convoluted that is, that these teams aren't rewarded but punished going into it. I mean, certainly they're behind the eight ball, but what I came to find out during this tournament run from these teams is they have a guy on staff that is not focused at all on the tournament run, that is leaning in completely on the transfer portal, building the roster for next year. So these guys have to multitask. The coach stays head on in what they're trying to do, go win a championship, but there's guys on that staff that are only focused on that. So behind the eight ball might be somewhat of a stretch, but certainly somewhat of a disadvantage, for sure.
Jordan, last one from me, and thank you again for doing this. We really appreciate your expertise here. I kind of said tongue-in-cheek earlier, I said, well, Duke's off the hook now, because Houston kind of had their own sort of equal, I would say collapse, but you know they were up 12 with under 15 to go, so maybe Duke's collapse maybe doesn't seem as acute, I guess, or as vibrant, or however you want to put that. How would you describe what happened with Duke Cooper Flagg missing that final shot, and where John Shire and the Duke program go from here?
Well, Duke, that program is obviously very positioned that with the Boozer Twins come back in to have the same sort of season and what I figure to be another down year in the ACC of basketball. They've really got to figure it out. So I expect Duke to be back. Look, when Duke goes back and looks at what their season was, I think they're going to really load up even more in the non-conference, and I think they certainly did. But they might even intersplice more non-conference later in the season, like that Illinois game that they had. Illinois happened to be sick at the Garden, and that was a blowout, another blowout win for Duke. But clearly, in-game situations plagued this team. I think they had four losses in total at the end of the year, and each of them came down to a possession. That speaks to youth and the inability to close because of how many blowout games you had through the year because your conference didn't serve you. So then I look at Houston. I give Duke a pass. It's a young group, a lot of freshmen on the floor for that group, inexperienced in the turbulence and in-game situation. They've proved to never be able to conquer that. That's why they're not a champion. But Houston, it's an old group. That's an old group of guys, heavily junior, senior, fifth-year guys that have prided themselves on closing out games. The inability to do that is a little bit more startling to me than what happened with Duke. I kind of expect that. I mean, another thing people should be talking about with this championship game, this is the first title game since 1989 where not one freshman stepped on the floor in this title game. That hadn't happened since 89.
Wow.
So you knew this was going to be played at a high level. And it certainly was. But when I look at the end of the game, I say, Houston, you're too old to have those empty possessions at the end of the game. And Coach Sampson knows that, and so does that.
Jordan, well, I have to ask you this because we might not talk to you for a little bit. I have a question. It's a show debate. If I ask you, who is the best coach in college basketball, what's the name that pops into your head?
It's two guys for me right now. It's Bill Self and it's Rick Pitino.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's not Danny Hurley.
Dan Hurley.
Look, Dan Hurley is great. I mean, you're talking about, look at the legacies of Bill Self and Rick Pitino. I mean, look, Dan Hurley's on his way there. Two titles back-to-back and what he has at UConn for sure. He's probably the next guy in line. But what Bill Self has done there in that Big 12 is starting to run out of steam here a little bit. And what Rick Pitino's been able to do at each different stop, leave that place way better, national championship caliber programs by the time he's done with them, is remarkable. Those are the two best coaches in college basketball. They're a step above Coach Dan Hurley, who's a friend. I think is one of the greats in the game, but it's Self and Pitino.
Jordan Cornette. Jordan, thanks for doing this. Sorry, we kept you a little long. Really appreciate you weighing in on what was a pretty amazing college basketball season. And again, you and Chris Corino together on Westwood One coverage, I found myself listening to a lot of that. You guys were excellent together. So thanks for the good listen, and we'll talk to you soon.
Maggie Perloff, I really appreciate it. Chris is the absolute best, even better off the broadcast than on it, if you can imagine. I'm sure you guys know that. Also, Masters Week. Come on, it doesn't get any better than this.
Nope.
Rory gets the career slam. The end of the week. I cannot wait for what's coming in Augusta.
I was actually a little more into the new food offering at Augusta this year, the savory tomato pie.
Speaking my language, 6'8", 300 pounds, this body is no accident. I'm all about
it. Jordan, thanks so much. Enjoy the golf. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
It's on our rundown to get to tonight's Masters dinner. Scottie Scheffler gets to pick the menu again.
Have we ever done where we get to pick the menu, what we would have? I think we might have done that, but I've thought.
Okay. We'll save them. We're going to get into that. Perloff's menu. I'll do a little back of the envelope.
Yeah, you come from the restaurant. I'm sure you've created menus before. Yeah, I'd like to see yours too.
Wait, how many courses? Hold on.
Yeah, you got appetizer, entree.
It seems like Scottie Scheffler has about 14 different things on there.
You get multiple appetizers.
You get two entrees for sure.
Two entrees, multiple appetizers, and then it looks like one dessert, but maybe you could go heavier on the dessert. You know what they don't have? And I guess it's a sporting event, so maybe no signature cocktail. I guess it's not. Is
Double
it really
Jack or ginger ale.
Is it really a party?
What is it? Doesn't the Masters have like their version? Is there a kind like the mint julep is with the Kentucky Derby? Is there some drink down there?
The honeydew, the U.S. Open.
I don't know if the Masters has a drink. They have tons of food.
Yeah, okay. We'll look into this.
Like a Pimm's Cup, like for a...
Well, I mean, the mint julep is famous.
Yeah,
at the Kentucky Derby. I figured there was.
People would be sloppy. Have you ever seen the Kentucky Derby? Everyone's barely hanging on with those fancy hats. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Talk a little golf next. It's M&P.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. So it's Defensive Player of the Week. Last night counts, right? EJ, you picked this?
Yep.
So it's got to be somebody from last night, I would hope. Let's give it to, for me, Walter Clayton Jr. as because of the closeout on the final play. Obviously, a lot of outstanding defenders on both sides of the ball last night.
I think EJ went to the women's championship game. And I think you went with Sarah Strong. She was more of an offensive force, but I think you went something off the women's game.
And EJ, I've got Cooper DeGene.
in perpetuity. Well, every week is Cooper DeGene.
Did a Nick play well against...
well, if you must know,
if it's OG Anunoby, I'm right. Walking out.
Oguguah Anunoby has been playing okay. Lights out.
He has been great. But this week's Navy Federal Defensive Player of the Week is Walter Clayton Jr.
Perloff.
Shout out to Perloff, whose closeout in the national championship game helped Florida secure a victory.
Former Iona.
We haven't talked about it a lot, but I actually think this was a kind of a botched play by Roberts, who should have screened him because he was definitely asleep. But the fact that he realized in a split second that he needed to close out and force Sharp into that travel or whatever happened.
Travel.
Definitely would have been a travel.
If he touched the ball.
Ended up being a turnover was the play that secured the win for Florida. So my player of the week defensively is Walter Clayton.
There you go. Okay, we teased it going into the break. Do you have your Masters menu? Tonight is the Masters dinner. Scotty Scheffler is hosting it. I can get you the Scotty menu.
Yeah, go. Why did you read the Scotty? Because okay. I'm finishing mine out.
Well, hold on one second.
Scheffler's is almost perfect.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have actually, the reason I'm taking a delay, I've gone through some old Masters menus and they're all the same and they're all just wonderful.
Okay, I've got you. I've got Scotty's here. I've got mine, by the way, as well. Scotty, appetizers, cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style, firecracker shrimp, and Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. The first course is Texas style chili. The main course, wood-fired cowboy ribeye steak and blackened redfish.
Yeah.
Dessert is a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with vanilla bean ice cream. I think the dismount is really where he nails it here because I love desserts that are hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that combination really hits a spot.
Okay. I'll give you mine. I'm going to have a salad, but I'm going to have a Crab Louie salad, which is,
boo
EJ,
this man.
It's the most unhealthy salad ever. All it is basically delicious crab with Russian dressing on it. It's the best salad ever.
I'm in then.
Yeah, it costs like $50, but Crab Louie salad to start. Then I'm going to have for my appetizer, sashimi.
Chicken.
And
sashimi, there'd be a riot.
And I
trying
love
to
this
poison
called,
the competition.
You guys ever had lamb lollipops? I don't know what they're officially called.
Oh, yeah.
I have.
They have them at the Grand Havana Room in New York, and it's the best thing ever. So that's my appetizers. Then I'm going to throw in some lobster ravioli. Because EJ, you had that in New Orleans, or I did, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever had.
Yep.
Then for my, I'm actually doing exactly what about 7 of the last 10 winners have done. I'm going with miso black cod and filet mignon. It's my 1-2 for the entrees. Side of cream spinach, which Patrick Reed have, which I love. And then my favorite dessert, if we're going to have any dessert, is actually probably not one that everyone loves. I love cheesecake, so I'm putting a cheesecake on there.
Oh, cheesecake's like probably the number two most beloved dessert.
Oh, I thought there were some people who were anti-cheesecake. Sometimes you have to put chocolate on the dessert, like a chocolate lava cake.
They are evil people, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, cheesecake rocks.
I'm going cheesecake as my dessert. Key lime pie would have been which is a form of cheesecake in my mind.
Yep.
Would have been good. What do you got, Meg?
All right. For my my appetizers, I'm going two of my favorites. A potato pancake with sour cream and caviar on the top. It's like from the 80s. I love this appetizer. And
love
then
it.
Jumbo shrimp cocktail with cocktail sauce, just the horseradish ketchup combination.
Can't go wrong. All right, good. Yeah.
My first course is going to be a creamy truffle pasta that I want them to make in one of those big cheese wedges.
Sure. Creamy truffle pasta.
Yeah, so you know how they have those like big wedges of cheese and they scoop out the middle and then they cook the pasta right in that big wheel of cheese?
No, but that
sounds
amazing.
And then you shave some truffles on top of it. I'm hosting this. Apparently, I'm paying for this too, so I'll be bankrupt after this dinner. My entrees are going to be New York strip. That's just, I love that. I know not everybody does. And then lobster, straight up.
Wait, so you're going to have lobster? You're
like
going to be
tails.
Sitting next to like Jack Nicklaus and you're going to be cracking a lobster?
Just the lobster tails. A little surf and turf.
Okay,
that's what I love. And then for my desserts, I want two. Bananas Foster with vanilla chocolate. And then I want a warm chocolate brownie with double down chocolate ice cream.
Damn, y'all make my stuff sound so basic.
Well, I mean, Scotty Scheffler's basically put out an Applebee's menu here. Manny, don't worry about it.
I liven it up. I like mine.
Go ahead.
I'm going entrees. You'll have some Korean-style barbecue sliced brisket. One of my favorite from Korean barbecue.
Very good.
And you it's a barbecue theme a little bit here. So then you have some barbecue spare ribs as a second entree.
Yes.
You want to do more American.
A little messy for a formal event, but go ahead.
Yeah. sides here, you got to have mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a glazed charred Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Love me some glazed Brussels. Apps, we're doing scallion pancakes and buffalo wings.
Wow, buffalo wings.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of napkins at this dinner.
Yeah, and dessert.
Floss, you need some floss.
And dessert, we're going tres leche cake and New York cheesecake.
That's what I have, too. Well, the tres leche.
Oh, so everyone did cheesecake. Okay. I'm looking at all the desserts for the last 20 years. No one went cheesecake.
It's weird. I mean, that's the best. Why would anyone not do cheesecake?
I don't know.
They're psychos. All right, Manny, quickly, what do you got?
I got a sampler platter and my mom's nachos for the app. Entrees, tacos al pastor from Taqueria Michoacana in New Rochelle. And a filet mignon.
You're shouting out restaurants in your menu?
Very specific.
Well, it has to be those type of tacos. Filet mignon as well, and desserts, tres leches, and ice cream. See, basic, AF.
I mean, not really, if you shout out a specific taco place. It's kind of not that basic. But you know, I like that. Bogues?
Yeah,
like
a yummy Trocana. Honestly, I don't know that I would change much of Scotty's. Like, the dessert is perfect.
That's the warm chocolate chip skillet.
Yes. Yeah. So it's coming to the table in the thing. It's almost like a mini cookie pie with ice cream on top.
Yeah.
So I'm good for that. Steak and the sides. He's got mac and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn. He's got EJ's Brussels sprouts and sweet potatoes. I'm not a seafood guy, so you can tell me which thing to throw on there he's got redfish. I couldn't suggest anything like that.
That's a weak link in his menu.
Is the redfish?
Redfish, in my opinion.
It's probably maybe you fish for that off the coast of Texas. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would steal Maggie's shrimp cocktail. It's simple, but it's perfect. I might throw some French onion soup in there. That's my favorite soup.
Do love a good French onion. It's not really the season for it, spring, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I found the worst one. I've been going through 2016 winner Danny Willett went with...
From Scotland, from England, okay.
Or somewhere, Great Britain. Mini cottage pies, that's an L. Followed by Sunday
roast. Don't even know what they are.
And no one even went to this one.
Followed by Sunday roast, which is actually prime rib is good, and Yorkshire pudding, and apple crumble, coffee, and tea. First of all, he has less than everybody else. I mean,
Yorkshire pudding is a popover, what we call popover.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what Yorkshire pudding is?
It's a very British menu.
Anyway, this stinks. Yeah. Where's the steak? Where's the sushi?
Did you see Carl Schwartzel from South Africa?
Who?
Slice biltong.
Yeah.
Boars with monkey gland sauce.
Excuse me?
Dauphinoy potatoes. Dauphinois potatoes.
Yeah. All of this sounds hazardous.
There's a lot
crispy
of game
meringues.
Meat. Mike Weir went with wild boar, which probably is good.
It's kind of gamey.
I like it.
Tiger is so basic. It's unbelievable.
Well, the first one he won, he was still like a baby. Yeah. I think he just did like burgers.
Apple juice.
Vanilla milkshake,
chicken fingers,
cheeseburgers. You're right, cheeseburgers and chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, grilled Nick chicken Fowler sandwich,
with fish
like
and
Boo
chips.
Earns.
Oh God, fish and chips. What is going on here, people?
Fish
you have an unlimited menu. You have an unlimited budget. You got to get loaded up with lobster.
I think you're expected to do something connected to your heritage.
Like you just want to.
Right. So, but I think like there's a push, like give us a sense of who you are with this menu. So that's why you're getting guys.
And who is Scotty Scheffler with firecracker shrimp and
Chef Boyardee, basically.
He's born out of Chili's.
Kinda.
Hey, by the way, I told you the Hooters declared for bankruptcy.
Ah!
I know, Manny, shed a tear.
I thought Hooters was making a comeback. Where did I get that from?
Your own personal feed. No, just on your specific Instagram.
From my lucid dream. That's where you heard that.
Oh.
They want to make it more family friendly. I'm not sure that's the way to go.
If you go to Hooters Instagram for your erotic online content, you have some issues in your life.
It means you're really like fried pickles.
OnlyFans when I can go on Hooters Instagram.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Melanie.
Yeah, just open any app right now and you're going to do 50 times better.
Melanie from the Newark one in New Jersey over here.
I've only been to one once and it was for a radio appearance.
Yeah, we did a couple shows at a Hooters.
I didn't think the food was particularly awesome. See,
I like the wings. I thought they were good.
People like the wings. Yeah. The fried pickles were fine. I were going to rebrand Hooters.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't go family friendly on this thing. Like, no. Don't fight City Hall. No, you got to double down. We got to go skimpier, tighter, whatever. Yeah,
Hooters
and then,
XL.
Maybe they need different body types. Well, probably not.
They just need more Hooters. No. Like, come on.
The other part is, I think you just upgrade the food a little bit, change the menu maybe. No?
Yeah, okay. I'm there for beer and sports.
Okay.
Also, well, I think, but I think,
and that's it.
Yeah, that's all.
I am respectful.
I think the problem with Hooters is once you get to a certain age, people will just say, "I'll just go to Magic City if I want to do this, or go to your local."
Right. Apparently, the food is great at strip clubs.
Yeah,
some
it's
of them.
Getting better and better now, and some of these places are like gourmet.
How do you know
Hooters? You got to compete.
Just I find food at a strip club so gross. I know Magic City has the famous wings. I can't.
Let's go do a taste test. Let's open an Instagram page. Perloff tries food from stripper.
We'd be millionaires.
Honestly, it's like it's an entree that's been sitting there for hours on end.
Perloff tries stripper's
food. Like any
buffet. Yeah, I mean, most of them are, as I recall, back in the day when I used to go to those places because I was forced to. There's a lot of buffets. Like
I'm forced.
And they were tinfoil.
He was forced to go. Maggie went for work.
I was
talking about strip clubs.
Is that where Josh Allen got drafted?
Not Hooters. I was talking about strip clubs.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
why would it be any worse than any other buffet? The food sits out there.
Well,
you're
there's
in a
more
sterno.
Skin. There's
because,
more sediment.
Yeah, no,
around.
No, no. And the men. There's a, yeah. Why would it be any worse? Are you serious?
Well, the men or the women? What are you more
fucked up
by?
What do you do about these
men?
Both. Both. And there's oils around, and I don't even know what's going on.
What are you, at a ditty party? Yuck.
You shouldn't be eating.
The stripper shouldn't be getting dressed in the kitchen.
You have to honestly ask me what's gross about food at a strip club? Is that a real question?
Well, you're not, it's not, you know, up on the stage. It's not like she's doing a split into the mac and cheese.
But she might by accident. That's the problem.
Is EJ barbecue spare ribs?
I was a little worried there'd be a little glitter stuck in there, that like you'd be eating some glitter.
Nom, 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 nom,
I mean, if you guys ever been to a strip club and said, this is an incredibly, this is one of the cleanest places here. I can't wait.
I've never been hungry in one. Yeah. That's not what I'm there for.
That's a big thing. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
It's combining two things that men love.
Food and beer.
No, I'll eat first, and then we can go to the club later.
Yeah, I'm kind of grossed out.
You want to go to a strip club on a full stomach?
You wouldn't try Magic City Wings? They are
I understand Magic City's an exception.
They're legendary. I mean, Lou Williams left the bubble for them.
That's suspended for them, basically.
That's not even a joke.
Yeah. That's dedication.
Listen, apparently they're that good. And that's it.
There's also these high-end steak places. You ever heard of those where you could get like a $75 steak served to you by a woman with no shirt?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
And you don't want this?
I feel like a guy would cut his own finger off, like not looking at the steak because you're staring at the topless woman and steak knife accidentally cuts your...
Perloff, where's the tip of your finger? Well...
Nah, something about it kind of grosses me out. I'm not into it. Yeah. It's just I can't combine all these things.
Agreed.
Oh, it's too schizophrenic.
Yeah, and there's definitely, as I recall, it's been a while, there's definitely oils involved. Like, there are women... Yeah.
I didn't know about the oils.
Just give them a little twang.
Definitely.
Definitely they're sweating because they're up there working.
Yeah, that too. And the guys are gross.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You didn't help your case right there.
I
mean,
I don't think you're eating while... Well, whatever.
Show trip.
That's a business breakfast if I heard
north.
One, right?
Yes. Yes, there is. About 20
less.
Blocks north.
There's a place 2 blocks from here.
Guys, all I'm saying is Friday, Maggie's not here. We all can leave at 10:05 and go to free.
Oh, can you imagine the ladies working the 10:05 shift on a Friday morning?
You're kind of ladies.
Yeah. What's brunch like at one of these places?
I love that you guys would go without me, even though I might be the biggest tipper here, just because I was a waitress.
Oh, okay. So just leave us some cash.
Preferably singles, please.
It's funny. I see Manny making it rain. Definitely.
We wouldn't see Manny for 3 days.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Manny? 3 months.
Yeah. Started paying rent.
You know, she wants to go to grad school.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
And she definitely likes you.
And I want the Knicks to win the title, but we all can't get what we want. Anyway, here's $50.
Here's $50. Boak, stick around, will you? We need to get to some headlines here. 888-710-4ISN. I'm not sure why I just gave the number there. There's not a call to action on this conversation.
Yeah,
in fact,
would you eat in a strip club?
Forget
yes
me.
Or no.
What is your favorite strip club menu item?
Put the poll up. See what I did there? A poll. Yeah.
Very good. The fact that started with the Masters menu is really what.
That's because
even when we try to do something classy, we can't.
Scotty Scheffler got his menu out of a strip club, it looks like. What is it? like bang bang shrimp or something? What does he got?
Firecracker shrimp.
He got it from like a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party.
Yeah, I mean, this is not
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
no knock on bang bang shrimp though.
French cuisine here.
Here's your game card for the Papa Shot.
Tiger. Yeah. All right. There we go. We'll get headlines in just a moment and more reaction to last night's national championship game. Sit tight. I'm not ordering a blow-up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Had a discussion, robust discussion about the Masters dinner menu, which led to the menu at strip clubs, as only our show can do. But we missed out on some Andrew Bogish headlines. So for that, Bogues, what do you have?
It was almost the reverse of their win over Duke Saturday night. This time, Houston built a 42-30 second half lead on Florida in last night's men's title game in San Antonio, but then wilted late. They didn't score in the final 2:05. They committed three turnovers in the final minute, including Emmanuel Sharp giving up their final shot with 4 seconds left. As you know by now, Sharp went up for the go-ahead three. Walter Clayton Jr. closed out hard. Sharp had a second thought, put the ball on the floor. He couldn't pick it up or it would have been a travel. Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson.
Clayton made a great play on that, but that's why you got a shot fake and get in the paint. Two's fine.
A two-pointer to tie the game. Instead, the Cougars didn't get the ball back. Time ran out for a 65-63 Florida win. The Gators only led for 63 seconds last night, but they were in front when it counted. Clayton named most outstanding player of the Final Four. Despite a scoreless first half, he finished with 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Just two NBA games last night. The Heat dumped the Sixers somehow, 117-105. They're now a half game behind the Bulls for ninth in the East. Those two play tomorrow. The Kings got a 127-117 win in Detroit, increasing their lead on the Mavs for ninth in the West to a full game. And the Blazers have signed GM Joe Cronin to a multi-year extension, Portland 14 wins better than a season ago. The Dodgers busy yesterday celebrating their world title at the White House, then dealing with the Nationals.
Now a 2-0 pitch. Ohtani swings, hammers it deep to right. This one's heading back to the wall. It is gone, a home run. And Ohtani ties the game with his fourth home run of the season.
That's Tim Neverett on Dodgers Radio. Ohtani finished a double shy of the cycle in a 6-4 loss. LA has now dropped 3 of 4. The Nationals have won 3 in a row.
Don't let the Nats get hot now.
The Blue Jays snapped the Red Sox 5-game win streak, 6-2 at Fenway. Vlad Guerrero Jr., 2 hits, a run scored after signing that $500 million extension, but that's not technically official yet because they can't complete Vlad's physical while they are on this road trip. And finally, the Rangers can bite me. 5-1 losers at home to the Lightning last night. These dopes remain 6 points behind Montreal for the final wild card spot in the East, now with 5
they're awful
games to go.
Well, can I make you feel better? Because
probably you can't.
I know that the people around here are very upset about the Rangers, including former NFL MVP Boomer Esiason, who's next door. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan, who not only won Pearl Jam Season 4, had amazing, the most perfect bracket of anybody who competed in our, you know, huge event, also making me privy to this and all of us. You can order Lou Williams lemon pepper little chicken wings as a 50-pack on the internet.
From Magic City?
Yeah.
Wow.
Magic City Kitchen, which only has an 82% of people love it. I feel like Magic City's got to be 100% approval rating for obvious reasons.
Wait, it's named after Lou Will?
Yeah, they're called the Lou Will Lemon Pepper Little Chicken Wings. Here's what they,
that's
the description.
That's a South Gwinnett legend right
there. The notorious top-selling Lou Will Wings. How many Six Man of the Years did he win? Anyway, to make these wings, naked wings are tossed in honey barbecue sauce sprinkled with lemon pepper seasoning, just the way the NBA star Lou Williams likes them.
I mean, I love lemon pepper wings.
The lemon pepper wet.
Well, dry, the naked wet ones, too, you can tell you're a professional athlete. I'm assuming that means grilled and not fried, maybe, or no breading.
I
don't know.
Naked means no sauce.
Or just no sauce.
Yeah.
But then you put the honey barbecue sauce.
Right. So they're
naked.
Yeah,
what's lemon pepper about honey barbecue sauce? I'm a little confused.
Well, it's honey barbecue and then lemon pepper seasoning.
Hmm. Feels like the honey barbecue is doing some of the lifting here.
Totally.
Oh, no, you got that. You got to have that hint of the lemon pepper.
Lemon pepper is
needed.
Really? Oh. That's your favorite wing? So you guys go to Buffalo Wild Wings to get lemon pepper?
Lemon pepper wings, yeah.
Get a lot of lemon pepper wings, yeah.
Does anybody here get boneless?
Oh, always.
Those aren't wings.
No,
though.
Come on.
Yeah, we talked about
boneless,
that.
Boneless, get out of here.
Yeah, I do too, Manny. We
delicious
can,
chicken
we could be
nuggets.
Super, yeah. If you're at Buffalo Wild Wings, boneless are good. I'm
if
sorry.
If you were wondering about Magic City, there's also a description here.
Oh, go ahead, please.
It opened in 1985.
God.
It's the Atlanta's most legendary club, named America's most important club by GQ magazine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank goodness.
There's also wings called Uncle Jeff Honey Jerk. Is that Jeff Green?
Probably. That is Uncle Jeff.
Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
So is Magic City far and away the most famous strip club?
Isn't there one in
Olympic
Spearmint
Gardens
Rhino and, yeah, Las Vegas? Is
yeah, and so Olympic Gardens.
Pretty famous too.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Heard that.
And probably the Hustler Club or whatever.
Doesn't what's any, the one? Rap?
Scores? And
yes. I don't think that exists
scores
anymore.
Did they close?
What's the one in the Nora? Anyone that Oscar winning movie? That's a
that scarred half of the show yet won the Oscar somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
You really gotta work half a lot harder to win an Oscar than you did in the past. Meanwhile, we will update our movie sequel bracket and talk college hoops in just a moment.